We have to secure the border. We have to do it. And we got to fund our government. And so this week, we're working very hard to do both of those things. We're trying to urge the president to use his executive authority to do something meaningful to stop the hemorrhaging at the border, stop the flow, reduce the flow. The White House has talked to him about this specifically. I reiterated to him the specific provisions of the federal law that give him broad authority to do that, to unwind the extraordinary, unprecedented damage that he has done with his policies. This is a catastrophe of their design. As was mentioned earlier, Vice Chairman Blake Moore said at the Republican conference that we documented 64 specific actions beginning on the day he took the office of executive orders and agency orders and actions that opened that border wide and created this chaos. And everybody in America knows it. Everybody knows the president has authority to do something, and he won't. And I cannot understand why he won't. So I pleaded with him to do that.
Well, I can, because they're using it as trying to use it as leverage to pass a bunch of stuff that they would like to get passed in the House. And they think that they're going to be able to lean on Republicans with it. And you know what? I hate to tell you, but they might actually do it. We're going to break some stuff down for you today. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. We're at the top of this first hour, and it's Thursday. We've almost made it through this crazy week. Now, we've got the president, and, well, the former president and the current president. Everybody's going to the border today. Everybody's going to be at the border, and you're going to have there's going to be a ton of media, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's going to the border today. And if anybody has, if he has any remarks, and they're not ridiculous, which they may be, we'll take them. But they're all going to the border, and they're going to two very different spots. And I'm sure you've heard about the comparisons between the areas where they're going, because you have Brownsville, and in addition to that, you've got Brownsville and then Eagle Pass. And Eagle Pass is where, that's where you've had all hell breaking loose. Trump is going to, he's going to the place in Shelby Park. I almost forgot the name of it. He's going to Shelby Park. Now, you remember Shelby Park, that's where they had the kind of the standoff with the feds down there, because the state took over that park. That was this little, there's a little bit of a shallower area, and they had a lot of illegal entrants going through that portion. So that's where Trump is going through, because Trump's going through the part where they're getting just still tons of people, and Biden's going to the more sanitized version, of things. That's where he's going. And I just don't know if that's how can you make a fair assessment if you're going to a place where, and this is kind of rhetorical, because I think that they already have their minds made up. They're not going down there to learn anything. He's just going down there to try to make it look like he's doing something. And then you've also had this story. I wanted to touch on this because this is from the Associated Press. I was actually reading this right before I came in here into the studio today. The Associated Press has that how the judge has the story with the Texas border enforcement law. A federal judge blocked the new law that gave police broad powers to arrest illegal entrants suspected of illegally entering the U.S. So in this fight that Biden has been having with Governor Greg Abbott, Biden actually won. He's got a win there. And that's, I know that that's kind of an expected, it's not unforeseen, because it's raising an issue of constitutional law that apparently the Biden administration is saying that the Texas government is, state government is interpreting incorrectly, which obviously we disagree with. So they're going to go back and forth over this. So this is just all of the latest. So this comes on the day that they're all going down to the border. And that's the latest with all of it. Now, here's the other thing. The Border Patrol Union, I think that Brandon Judd made it confusing. I know him. He's a nice guy. And as I've said before, the Border Patrol chief, they have their job that they're supposed to do with regards to their members, just like any other union boss, right? Your union boss is to represent the workers, the members of the union, and advocate for whether it's better treatment, whether it's wages, whatever, hours, advocate specifically for that, for the union members. And so when they came out and they only weighed in, and this was the Ukraine supplemental, and I don't want to deep dive it again because we did that over a week ago, but just to catch you up to speed because there's developments in it, when they came out, the Border Patrol union with Brandon Judd, they had come out and they backed the portion of the bill, and that was the pittance that they were kind of going to throw to the border. Is it fair, Kane? Am I being ignorant to say that you can't really measure it as an improvement because it's barely an increase over their year-to-year fiscal?
Yes.
I mean, it's like barely anything. It's like crumbs. You're throwing crumbs at someone and then demanding that they be grateful because you're doing the bare minimum, like the barest crumb minimum. And so because of that, he's like, well, it's better than what we got. Well, duh. But that made them, in this statement, back that specific portion. Now, remember, I had told you, we as taxpayers, we don't have the luxury of just only looking out, piecemealing this out, and only looking at one specific issue. And so as a result, I disagreed with them on that. I get it that they were looking out for their members, but we got to look out for everybody else. You know, we got to look out for our sovereignty, our borders, everything. So anyway, long story short, he got a lot of pushback from members about that. He got a lot of pushback about that. And so then he came out and said that he's mad. They're mad. They were blasting the president because they're coming to the border. And he said that they didn't even bother reaching out to them to show up at the border. This was from this morning. This is Brandon Judd, who I think now he's realizing you can't play with fire like this and you can't incrementalize the stuff in the supplemental. Listen.
President Biden going to Brownsville, did the Border Patrol Union ever get any outreach or invitation from the White House about that visit?
Not at all, and I didn't expect it. He's not going to listen to voices of reason. He's not going to listen to people that are going to tell him what he actually needs to secure the border, the programs, the operations, the policies. He doesn't want to hear any of that, and if he would have invited me, that's exactly what I would have said.
Well, if he would have invited him, because he didn't. They didn't invite anybody of the Border Patrol. None of them. They didn't invite any of them. So it's, you can't be too shocked about that. But they did use it. They were none too happy to use Brandon Judd's statement and beat Republicans over the head on it. That's why I thought it was just a bad move for them to do that. I mean, they were weighing in on the supplemental like, oh, this is all they had to do was say this doesn't go far enough. And I think it was specifically designed. Honestly, if I were writing this legislation, I would want to do something that puts that union at odds with the party that's actually done the most for it. And they succeeded in doing that, at least for a little bit. Now, I don't know if the Border Patrol Union, if Judd's going to be at the event with Trump. They haven't said, because that's one of the first things that I was looking for. They haven't said as to whether or not he's going to be there, but I wouldn't be shocked. But we'll see. We're going to see that. It's just, I don't know what to expect from Biden's visit. He can't really walk anywhere. He can't shuffle around on the rough terrain. They can't risk this old fart falling down there at the border. I mean, so what's the point of it? That he's finally going there? It looks like it's too little too late. And it looks indulgent just to his campaign aspirations. That's all it is. It's frustrating. So this is one of the things that we're looking out for today. And like I said, depending on how, whatever his message is and what he ends up saying, we may take some of that because I don't want to punish myself and I don't want to punish you either. So that's what we're looking at. In addition, the cognitive test, did you guys see the email newsletter? I was on the struggle bus trying to find, royalty-free images, trying to get my main image that populates on the newsletter page. I was really on the struggle bus for that. So I hope that you're happy with the image that I chose because it was Mr. Burns, fit for duty. Joe Biden's doctor says he's fit for duty. Well, if he's fit for duty, then he's fit to be prosecuted. Our friend Larry out of Vegas made that great point.
That is a good point. How did they spell duty? That's what I want to know.
That's a great question. It is D-U-T-Y. However,
that's what they meant. Just making sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Right. Yeah. I mean, okay. They said he's fit for duty. He does not have any new health concerns. His doctor wrote after, who is this doctor? After a physical exam, blah, blah, blah. But he shuffles around, dude. The dude's had a stroke. Let's like stop doing this. Let's stop pretending. The dude had a stroke. Come on. So that's, he's fit for duty. And we told you Mitch McConnell is retiring after November. Here's the other story we're watching because we got the shutdown that's supposed to happen tomorrow. Democrats are mad at Mike Johnson. And then Republicans are getting, everybody's mad, getting mad at Mike Johnson because they're afraid that he's going to cave and go ahead and kick the CR through. Remember, they've got to fund some portions of the border, or portions of the budget, rather, which probably includes some of them. But any non-essential funding would be frozen. And I'm actually okay with that. I'm actually okay with that. Is that, I feel keen to see how that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Anything non-essential, I mean, so you know what that means. It means anything that's not Article 1, Section 8. And I'm okay with anything that's not Article 1, Section 8 being totally frozen out and then nothing else with that.
That should be the normal operational procedure of our government.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think that that's, I think that's a, an accurate assessment, sir. Mm-hmm. That's an accurate assessment. So we're going to give you all the latest, all the updates over that as well. We also have some culture stuff. We've got some surveys, some polling. Yeah, I told you culture stuff. We're going to get into some of these other races, down ballot stuff. So we got a lot to hit. The Hunter Biden testimony, they're still freaking out. Everyone is having a narrative battle. But the fact that James Comer was so giddy, and I don't use that word lightly, dude was giddy. It's weird for like a grown adult male who's like of the older variety to be giddy, because that's normally an adjective that you would describe, you know, like a 10-year-old girl. Oh, she got Taylor Swift tickets. She's giddy. Comer was legit giddy over, it was like he was practically, if you see any of the videos of him, he's like sauntering. He's like practically skipping down Capitol Halls. He just looked really stoked about the testimony yesterday. He was very happy about it. He's just pursuing happiness. That's right. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well, because it sounds as though everything that Hunter Biden said was contradicting the testimony of the witnesses that they interviewed prior. And Hunter Biden kept saying, well, you know, I'm a drug addict. And as, who was it that described it like this? He was wielding it as a shield and a sword, which you cannot do with this issue. Our partners who help bring you free radio, our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, they want to make sure that you're saving money in this Biden economy. And they also want to give you free activation using code Dana. They offer dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks, so you're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. And when you switch, you're sending a message that, you know, you support U.S.-based businesses because they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're founded in Texas. They make switching easy, and they're not going to use your money against you at the ballot box. They're responsible stewards, and they make sure that they support the things that you support. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Don't believe the BS. What's next for the Biden propaganda machine? Bidenomics went over like a lead balloon. Ahead of Biden's State of the Union address, he plans to address shrinkflation while blaming grocery store chains for gouging its customers.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Richard Lewis has passed away. He was 76 years old. I don't know why that surprises me. I mean, I understand that people age, but he was like, does this make sense when I say that, you know, when you're young, there are people that you know are older, but they're young old. He was like a young old. And so he could even go gray and all that other stuff. But he had like this whole young old aesthetic. 76 years old. I also didn't know he was dealing with Parkinson's. I didn't know that either. Like, he kept that secret. Man, he could be trusted with like state secrets, because I didn't know that. That's like, this is sad. South Koreans are apparently going like straight up extinct. They said that if they do not stop the plunge of their birth rate, they will face extinction from the world's first self-inflicted genocide. And their last citizen could kick the bucket in 2750. Now, I know this is all could and, you know, if, hypothetical.
I want to know about North Korea. This is only
South Korea. Yeah, nobody cares about North Korea. They said South Koreans, demographers are worried that this, they said it's a massive sharp trend in birth rates. The average woman has only on average 0.72 offspring in her life. They said it's been going for decades. And if it continues at the exact pace that it is now, South Koreans will literally not see the end of the millennium. And they said that their figures is the lowest since records began over 50 years ago. They're not the only people that are under that are at risk of underpopulation. South Korea, they said in 2022, it was 1.39. Now it's 0.72. U.S., back in, let's see, in 2022 was at 1.89. U.K. was at 1.87. And South Korea has a population of 52 million. So this is just fascinating. Also, this is a study, and I am so not shocked. Female psychopaths are surprisingly common. I could have told you this without a study, y'all. They did a whole study about these broads in the UK, and they said, look, dudes, you are right. It's not just in your mind. And it is true that no one should have a completely hysterical reaction from the two words common down being parsed together. And they said that not all psychopaths are serial killers, but there are more women psychopaths than men. It's an actual academic, legitimate, official study. It's an official study. Speaking of psychopaths, a naked woman got into a fight at a Venice Beach, on Venice Beach, and apparently spike clubs were involved. I mean, one of them shouldn't be naked. One of them, it's not so bad, I guess. She's a little fitter. Actually, she's a little anorexic looking, so maybe not. You can be a skinny fat. And they literally battled Game of Thrones style with spiked clubs at Venice Beach. Okay, there you go. That's your fun for today. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Have you ever gotten undressed only to realize that you were in front of an open window? How did that make you feel? Exposed? Vulnerable? Well, going online without using ExpressVPN is like doing that, being naked in front of a floor-to-ceiling window. And of course, there are creepers and weirdos out there who can see and record everything that you do online, even in the so-called private browsing model. So the next time that you go online in private browsing or in incognito mode, look at the fine print, because you'll see that your browsing activity is actually visible to a ton of people, like your internet provider, your school, your employer. Because when you use the Wi-Fi at work or at a hotel or, heaven forbid, an Airbnb or even at home, the owners of the Wi-Fi can see everything that you're up to. So imagine everybody getting a look at all the stuff you've ever clicked on. Like if I go to Daily Mail and I read all the celebrity trash, people will see that and they're going to judge me when I tell them all I do is read things like Forbes or Wall Street Journal. So use ExpressVPN. It's an app that sends 100% of your traffic through their encrypted servers, so your browsing history cannot be seen by anyone. It's like, you know, an actual incognito mode, you know, one that works. And ExpressVPN works on all your devices, so you can use your phone, your TV, your iPad, your computer, browse, shop, watch, download whatever you want without the entire world knowing what you're doing. I mean, I think it's important to use ExpressVPN because, you know, I care about my privacy, and I'm pretty sure you do about yours as well. So make sure you protect your online activity with the VPN that I trust to keep me private. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana today. That's expressvpn.com/Dana to get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
What do you say to people, though, who think that this is just an election year stunt? Finally hearing about the border after it's been a problem for the last 3 years.
Here's the thing. Here's what I would say. On the first day of this president administration, he put out a comprehensive immigration policy to deal with this issue. He did that on the first day. That was his first piece of legislation.
Like rescinded everything.
I would hope the American people would see how serious this president was or is about
he's so serious, guys. He rescinded everything. Where is this? Where's this flashback? Where's it at? Audio sound by 4. This is Mayorkas. Oh, yeah, this is what he did, y'all. Check it.
And I'd like to understand from you what Trump-era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
They see, there you go. So I guess that's what she's talking about. Mystery. Yeah. This is what she's talking about. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour. I'm freezing to death in Texas. It was 90 one day and then 30 the other day, and we're all dying. I had to whine. Bear with me. You guys know how I am. It's good to be with you, though. Can we just talk trash about the weather for a little bit?
Sure.
But, yeah, welcome. You can listen across the country, probably in a warmer area where you are right now. So hateful. So it's just hateful. It's, the weather's hateful. But Channel 347 DirecTV, it's the video component. I'm having a good hair day today. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not too full of myself to say it. And you can also find us on a station across the country, stream it, and sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on Facebook and YouTube as well. I mean, I guess, you know, she said that that's, you know, he had, you know, he's had all these policies and stuff. And I guess that's a rescinding other policies, I guess, is a policy, right? That's like what she said. There's no audio to this, but it's like what she said yesterday. Hold up. Let me pull this up. Because I got to use one of my favorite gifts ever. She had tweeted, quote, she's quoting, by the way, the president of the United States. Last year, the United States had one of the lowest rates of all violent crime in more than 50 years. Murder, rape, aggravated assault, robbery dropped sharply along with burglary, property, crime, and theft. It matters. And I'm like, yeah, when you stop charging for crime, you reduce crime. That's how that works. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? So amazing. I love that math. I mean, that's what they did, by the way, in Parkland before that massacre happened. And I told you how they had a Secret Service parent that went in there and warned them like literally 3 months before this tragedy happened. And how that kid had to, or that young adult, the murderer, had to have a babysitter while he was still there because he was so violent. He previously pulled a gun on a kid's head, knocked his mom's teeth out. This is all stuff that the media purposely didn't want you to know. And they actually, Robert Runcie, the superintendent of that school, and this all came out in the Marjorie, super bipartisan. Most people, when they say bipartisan, it's kind of a lie. No, this was actually a legit bipartisan. That Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Commission, they discovered, and they published it in their findings. They have a whole thing on it, the commission's report. They found out the superintendent, Robert Runcie, just legit, straight up, stopped reporting crime. And I'm not talking about like little bitty, little stuff. I'm not talking about like little misdemeanors. I'm talking about like straight up felonies, like assault with a deadly weapon and all kinds of. I mean, he just stopped reporting it because he wanted to reduce, as he said, that school to prison pipeline. Well, you know how you do that? You stop reporting the crime. Look at all the crime that went away. Well, you stop reporting it, but it's gone. But it's not, though. You just stop reporting it. No, no. I mean, is it crime, though, if I stop reporting it? I mean, really, doesn't me having to report it as a crime make it a crime? You see what I mean? Crime has gone down. That's pretty much what their argument says. Vegas Larry, we're going to call him that now. He says it's warm there in Vegas and we can come there.
Really?
Give me a moment to complain. It's 46 degrees here. Y'all. 2 days ago, came temperature 2 days ago, hit me.
94 degrees.
I'm fine with the heat. The hotter, the better. I can handle the heat. I freeze up in the cold. I'm like an EV battery, right? All my energy is depleted.
Is it 44 now?
Yeah. It's just literally went up. It heard me talking about it. It's a whole 46 degrees. I want the global warming. I don't want a ceasefire from the sun.
Yeah, that's a 50 degree swing.
Yeah. I've had people go, why do you sound nasally right now? And then someone's like, did you have a nose job? Is that why you're nasally? I'm like, are you serious? How stupid are you? I've been on air every single day. I think you'd know. No, it's because of this kind of stuff. Like when you have 50 degree temperature swings, it does affect the voice a little bit. Like nobody's immune. But it's like, I mean, I'm back in turtlenecks and stuff. You know, I have a fox head tonight. And I'm wearing white. They're going to complain because you can't wear white. They don't like it when you wear all white. Oh, man, the producers and stuff hate it because it like messes with the coloring. All my turtlenecks are dirty, though. I got to do laundry and I'm just too lazy. So white it is. It's where we're going. Don't you love this behind the scenes stuff? You guys get it all. We share it all with you. All the dirt. Right. So. To this, you know, the border policies. Yeah, I mean, it's a policy, I guess. To rescind all the other ones. We're just going to undo everything he did. That's our policy. We're going to call it Biden's border policy. Yeah, okay. Ooh, I wanted to share this with you. Did you guys hear? I said yesterday, I go, they're specialer than you. So Panera Bread, right? Some people have I'm going to bring the tugboat in, but let's start here. Some people have a love-hate with Panera. So where Kane and I come from, The company, didn't it start in St. Louis?
Yeah.
So it's they call it St. Louis Bread Company. If you go to St. Louis, Missouri, or just Missouri, and you say Panera, people will look at you like you're nuts.
Yeah, like you're from out of town.
Yeah, like what is that? What's Panera? St. Louis Bread Company. I mean, they don't know no Panera. What's that? And it still feels weird to call it that here, although it's settling in. So anyway, you know, they've got all kinds of stuff. You know, they got, you know, the bagels. Their cinnamon crunch bagels are pretty legit. And that's about it. I hate everything. Oh, the turkey bacon Bravo. That's pretty good. Yeah. I don't mind. I can't get mad at them for this headline that I'm about to share with you. Because for real, if you felt that you were in an overtaxed environment, like punitively overtaxed, wouldn't you be trying to figure out how to have the government steal less of your income? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm all for that. So I don't necessarily think that what they did is bad, but the politician who allowed it, it's a double standard. So here's the headline. In California, because you know they got a new $20 minimum wage law. We're going to talk about that in a second because it's a joke. Why stop at 20? Give them $11 trillion an hour or you don't care about their lives. Why stop there? Why stop at 20? Panera Bread is now exempt from California's $20 minimum wage law because the owner donated to Newsom. So he signed into law, fast food workers make $20 an hour. It's the Fast Food Accountability Standards Recovery Act, and they have a carve out. So chains that bake bread and sell it as a standalone item are exempt. So that includes Panera. Okay. Because they have other stuff besides just like bread. That's like one of the things that they have. Newsom sought the exemption because the Greg Flynn, the billionaire CEO of the Flynn Restaurant Group, which owns like several dozen Panera Bread locations in the state, donated to him. And Flynn went to the same high school as Newsom. He's had business dealings with the governor. He's what the largest franchisee in the U.S. He has all kinds of brands. So he was, you know, he was really pushing this. And the head of the National Restaurant Association, Michelle Korsmo, said everyone's scratching their head about the bread exemption. She says, but that all comes through relationships. So see, they're just specialer than you. All you got to do is bake bread and have it as a standalone item on your menu, I guess, and then you'll be exempt. Everybody's going to be baking some bread now. Golly, the sourdough trend's never going to go away. So that's the whole thing. They get a special carve out because they are specialer than you are. And that's just the way it goes, guys. You're just, I guess you're just not as special as Panera. You don't get those carve outs. You don't get that special treatment. You don't get any of that. They're just specialer than you are. Panera. I mean, pay to play. That's exactly what this is. This is what happens when you have a one-party state, though. Yeah, everybody needs to start selling bread every single day now. They need to start doing that so they can have that carve-out. That's what I would do. I'd be like, guys, we're going to also introduce bread. Yeah. Would you like to go to a restaurant? You can have an loaf of bread. Just have one. Just buy it as a standalone item. But the $20 an hour thing, you know, the market supports that. And I love the argument that these people make. Well, if you really care about their lives, we're not going to call for the governor to reduce taxes or to stop spending. We just need people to pay more for basic everyday items. And then they bitch and moan because, oh my gosh, I can't believe a Big Mac costs $1 trillion. How did this happen? Maybe because you like task the people like pay, like making it, they get $20 an hour. And why stop there? I mean, if it's about care, because they always say you just don't care about these people's lives and they try to make it out like you're a heartless cretin if you don't agree to $20 an hour. Okay, I'll call your bluff. I guess I just care more than you. How about $1 million an hour? Oh, I'm sorry. You think that's too much? You think that's exorbitant? I don't think care for another's life is exorbitant. Seriously, when does it stop? Where do you draw the line? I mean, that's what the market determines. The market determines the value for these things. And I really don't trust the dude Or like these lawmakers in California. Come on, y'all know that these people were born with silver spoons in their mouths. They don't know. You think they go to McDonald's? They don't. You think these fools go to Panera? No, they don't. They go to French Laundry when you're all shut up in your houses. That's where they go. Have you seen how expensive it is to eat there? Yes. Like, I like a good meal, yes. But there's some things that out of spite. Holy cow. Holy cow. Who makes, are angels making the food? Like, what? Do you have like actual like seraphim making the food? Chopping up the veggies for the salads? Like, what's happening back there in the kitchen? I don't know. So I just think the reason that these politicians support this type of stuff, especially in a one-party state, is because it shows you how far removed they are from everyday things. They don't know how much everyday items cost because these fools don't do everyday item stuff. Can you imagine? Gavin Newsom was in a Target and he was already having a meltdown. Man was there for 5 minutes and he's having a straight up meltdown. And you probably know he didn't even know where to go in the Target. He didn't even know. So yeah, they get $20 minimum wage and Panera Bread gets a carve out because they sell bread. Everybody should sell bread now. All of them. Now, we have more on the way to get into as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. And I got some media malpractice for you as well. We have all the latest with the border stuff, all those good things as we move. Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I think folks need to understand that the president passes, again, a cognitive test every day. If you look at what a clinical cognitive test is actually, what it actually does, it is a 15-minute appointment that is administered by someone that most of the time people don't actually know. And the president has a team of doctors that is with him 24/7, and he is able to do the work every day that is rigorous, that is more rigorous than it would be for any 15-minute clinical appointment.
But he like works for 5 seconds a day. I mean, have you seen, like, his schedule's public. I mean, you can see what he does during the day. And he calls the lid before 3 o'clock. He doesn't show up to work till 10. He calls the lid at 3. The hell kind of hours are those? I mean, I work for myself in my home, and I work way longer hours than that.
Right. Well, in his defense, he has dinner, like, right after.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to... I don't get it. I don't know. It's weird to me. He passes a cognitive test. Breathing does not count. I mean, we all breathe. Kane, I'm looking at you passing your cognitive test over there. And you just
really
did it
cognitive.
Again. You blinked too.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, basic biological functions, that's...
Really overperforming over here.
Yeah. I mean, if Biden can get through a single day... without falling over something, falling up something, getting lost, forgetting who he is. That's a banner day for them. But this idea, now someone was like, well, Trump didn't have a cognitive test and it's not normal for there to be a cognitive test. Okay, well, it's not normal to put like an 11,000-year-old desiccated stroke victim in the White House either. So, you know, we kind of threw normalcy out the window a long time ago, didn't we? Especially after, you know, we got the cocaine cubby administration over here. And we kind of threw normalcy out the window a long time ago. See, I don't get to complain about, well, Trump didn't have a gun in his head. But he doesn't, like, legit forget who and where he is. I mean, you can say whatever you want about Trump, but I've never seen the guy wander around on stage and then try to walk behind a curtain because he didn't know where he was. Right? I've never seen the guy fall up steps every single time he met them. Or literally forget what he was talking about and who he is mid-sentence and call himself titles and names that aren't his. I've never seen that.
And other world leaders.
Yeah. I mean, come on now. This is, don't even act like it. Don't even act. There's no quid pro quo here about this. All right. In our second hour coming up, we got some GOP stupidity because this is so dumb. And we got some cultural stories. And the Psychological Association has a new woke dictionary. There's some phrases that they want you all to avoid so that feels aren't hurts. It's very important. So we're going to get into all of that and a lot more. Second hour, moments away. Stick with us. Our partners over at Gold Co. The gold IRA field can be really confusing at times, and finding a precious metals company that you can trust isn't an easy task. So turn to the folks at Gold Co. who are dedicated to making it easy for you to understand. They have a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that will explain the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. So you can get their free 2024 gold kit and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. And adding gold or silver as a hedge against inflation is something you should be incorporating already. It's an important part of your retirement and savings strategy. And you're going to get unmatched customer service with zero complaint record and first rate attention from the folks at Gold Co. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee. There's no pressure. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver only at DanaLikesGold.com.
About it, sir, because there was no evidence that Joe Biden did anything.
He got $200,000 from
what did he do?
And the evidence that Joe Biden, that Jim
did
Biden said,
checks,
Joe,
no, listen, he wasn't vice president at the
look,
time. Those
you can
passed.
You can defend Joe Biden all day long. You can defend
you
Joe Biden. You can be on his legal defense team. Kevin Morris will probably pay your legal bills if you want.
You're not answering my question.
No, I am answering your question. You don't understand what we've said over and over and over. Joe Biden took $200,000 directly from AmeriCorps.
Was the vice president at the time that $200,000 check was put through?
Did what?
He was a private citizen at the time that $200,000 check went through, was he not?
The $40,000.
The $200,000 check, which you've cited twice.
So
now,
it's okay.
Was he a public official at the time?
So do you have a problem that Joe Biden's lied about this? Do you have a problem that AmeriCorps helped?
I don't have any evidence that he's lied about
investors?
It. I'm asking you, what specific action did he take as a public official, an elected public official,
well,
that
with
led
the, yes,
to
with the
inquiry?
With the
inquiry,
with
you have that dumbass.
Calm down, it's okay.
This is a reporter who's arguing with James Comer, and he keeps going, oh, well, there was one check that he got when he wasn't. It was between the time that he was vice president and president. You mean the time that he was still raising money for his presidential ambition? Do they forget that happened? He literally was running for office, you jackwagon. He was trading the promise of future influence, you jackwagon. Who is that reporter? Oh, my gosh. Like, there's a reason throttling's a crime. You know what I mean? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. And you can also catch us, the simulcast, the video, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook. That reporter, James Comer, had a smile on his face because apparently going by the just what's coming out about the testimony, Hunter Biden was not very believable in his testimony. He apparently contradicted what all of the other witnesses and everybody else said. But this reporter going, well, that $200 check, though. You mean the one that he received when he was running for president, because that's that timeline. He had already, he already had a PAC that he was raising money through, and he was already laying the groundwork for a presidential run, because he ran in 2016. I mean, or he was going to run in 2016, and then he stepped back because Hillary Clinton was insisting that she run. But he still was raising, fundraising through political action committees, though. So that doesn't, I mean, there are all, there's financial receipts for this. But then, you know what, though? You can't make that argument that, oh, well, this check came in between the period that he was vice president and president, while also simultaneously arguing that he didn't make any money off of Hunter Biden's deals, or that he didn't know about Hunter Biden's deals. So you can't argue both of those simultaneously. And that is what the press, and that is what the Biden defense is trying to assert. So you can't have A and B both be true. It's either one or the other. And the fact that they're using this, and that's the weak read upon which they're leaning. Oh, well, it was between the time that he was vice president and president. Okay, well, then, so you're telling me he lied when he said that he didn't know anything about Hunter's businesses. And you're telling me that he lied, and Hunter Biden lied repeatedly under oath, by the way, which is what a felony that they got Paul Manafort for. Then you're telling me Hunter also lied. Speaking of which, apparently it came out that Hunter Biden admitted that Joe Biden was the big guy when with all the 10% for the big guy stuff. So that's not really a surprise, is it? No. I mean, you knew. You knew it was. I mean, you knew that way. You knew it. So I, you can't have both. You can't argue both of those things at the same time. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Now, a couple of things. They have the former president and the president that are going to the border. Apparently, Biden's in his big old giant black tennis shoes. They had a video of him walking up the steps. He didn't fall that time, but he was walking up the steps. He still had his shoes on. What are the, I can't remember what kind of shoes those were. Big, giant, thick black shoes. Anyway, so you have Eagle Pass in Brownsville, and Shelby Park's Shelby Park is near Eagle Pass, correct? Because Biden's going to the sanitized portion of the border where they moved everything. I've been hearing from people, because we have a lot of affiliates and listeners in a lot of border areas, and I've been hearing from a ton of different listeners in the that in the area Biden's going to, that they've been cleaning up the streets, whether they're making comments on Facebook or just like emails and a couple of tweets. They're really cleaning it out there. There's nobody here. You can't see anybody here. They moved everybody. So, I mean, it's going to be, you'll have a case of dueling speeches. Are they going to be speaking at the same time? Do we know?
I don't know.
We'll bring it to you depending on if Biden says anything, we'll have some cuts. But Trump is speaking. Okay, so he's speaking at 1:45. I'm assuming that's Central. That was just published. So this is at the end of the hour. So he's going to be at Eagle Pass, Shelby Park and Eagle Pass, and Biden's going to Brownsville. And Brownsville is the area where they had employed or implemented a lot of those force multipliers, the barbed wire and the trailers that they were putting up as the wall. And that actually really helped out. And so a lot of the illegal entrants, the illegal immigrants were going across their, you know, different areas to try to figure out a weaker, softer spot through which to pass. So they were moving from Brownsville to Eagle Pass. And then they started getting stricter there. That's why they've seen an influx in Arizona, particularly in California and elsewhere. So Trump is going to be speaking. I was looking to see when Biden talks. Trump is going to be speaking at Eagle Pass, and he's going to be at Shelby Park. That's the park that was at, you know, ground zero of all of that. And Biden's going to try to get a handle on this whole thing. He didn't reach out to ask, apparently, any Border Patrol agents to show up with him. I think it would be a missed opportunity if Trump goes to Shelby Park and he doesn't have any of the families that now are, you know, they're second and third generation Americans now, but like the grandparents of the patriarch, you know, immigrated over legally and started their family and owns ranch land and created a business, because there's, I mean, that's like a common story in a lot of these border towns. Those, I think those individuals should be focused, because who can best speak about the respect for the American dream by honoring the laws and entering legally than the people who did it and joined the great American dream? I mean, who can better speak to that? So I hope they don't miss that opportunity to showcase some of those people. So Biden's going to be speaking. Oh, he's going to be at the Border Patrol station.
3:30.
At 3:30. That's probably Eastern, so 2:30. So what, 45 minutes? Is it Central?
I would
Central?
Assume they're given Brownsville time, right? That's Central time. So that would be 3:30 Central. So it's about 2 hours after Trump's, or
if it's, if that Trump's. Is, well, Trump, I was assuming, is E.T., because they always give everything
I think
E.T.
All of these, even though they don't specify, I think they're all Central time because of where right. they're located. No.
So then it would be, so they wouldn't overlap on anything. So we'll bring you anything. Speaking of that, speaking of the border stuff, the fact sheet went out, the talking points about the border. It was released just a little bit ago. It says fact sheet. Now there's new language here, guys, new vocabulary. The impact of the bipartisan border agreement funding on border operations. I want you to listen to the sentence. Ready? The bill also includes $1.4 billion for cities and states who are providing critical services to newcomers and would expedite work permits for people who are in the country and qualify. Newcomers.
Wait. You mean illegal immigrants?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of an equivalent for someone who breaks into your house.
That's a newcomer. He's a newcomer. Let's welcome them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think, yeah.
It's the same tired tactic. Then as soon as you push back on any of, then they're like, "What? Why are you so against newcomers? You're a horrible person." Like, it's tiring.
Newcomers. Borrowers. Let's call people who steal things borrowers. I'm trying to think of some other innocuous phrases. That is so insulting. How much you want to bet that he uses this phrase in his remarks? I mean, it's already out in the talking points. It's already on the top, so I would imagine that he is. Now, the House is going to vote today on a stopgap bill. They're trying to avert a shutdown this weekend. Actually, it's supposed to hit tomorrow. And they want to extend government funding because they've been trying to rein in spending, but it doesn't look like it's going to win. The House Freedom Caucus has been bashing the big spending by leaders of both parties. And they said that they're willing to force a government shutdown. They want steeper cuts. So the charge has been led by Bob Good out of Virginia. And he's trying to get the Speaker, Johnson, to push these riders, very cost-cutting riders that they want to incorporate into these spending bills. So without those, I mean, he'll have a CR. It's a stopgap bill, but they call it a CR. It's a continuing resolution. What it does is it just maintains the existing level of government funding until they fight over it again. And it's at all 2023 levels. So you're maintaining the Ukraine funding and everything else. It's what they just did last time. Remember when we had the speaker fight and I was telling you, yeah, it's the right move, but it's the wrong time. It's the stupid wrong time, because they ended up literally maintaining funding for Ukraine and maintaining all of the existing spending levels. And so if they do this with this CR, that will go through the remainder of the fiscal year, which ends October 1st. And they want, it would trigger, the Hill notes that it would trigger this one strategy, this latter, to have the CR. You got 1% cut to federal programs of all types beginning May 1st. And that was a requirement of the Bipartisan Fiscal Responsibility Act. They were trying to get lawmakers to reach an agreement this year on this. And Good said, Bob Good said that was the 1% cut's preferable to the deal that Johnson endorsed, where you have both parties, Democrats signed on to that, and that called for higher spending. They wanted higher, more spending, higher spending caps. So I don't know. Good said that they would do a CR through September 30th so that the higher spending caps would cut, he says, about $100 billion from the deal and attach border security. And that's it. And FISA reforms. He said that they should be willing to force a shutdown to fight for that. So that's those are the details they're trying to get added to that. We have more on the way. Affect that broadly of a decision? I wouldn't. So I get it. I appreciate what he's doing. We have more on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this third hour. And our partners who support your 2A rights and Black Rifle Coffee. This is the only coffee that I drink. It's veteran-owned, veteran-operated, and they employ active duty and retired veterans as well. And they do a lot with first responders, police, veterans, charities. But the coffee that they have, if you're tired of just garbage coffee, and I tell you, after we went to Italy and I was having like great Italian espresso, I literally can only drink Black Rifle Coffee now coming back because it is so good and it doesn't have a bougie price tag either, which is what I appreciate. You can also get it delivered fresh to your door with no shipping fees. You lose nothing, literally nothing, by being a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club. When you join, you choose whatever roast or roasts, plural, you want, your frequency of shipment, and have it sent right to your door for free. And you can get 30% off your first subscription order using code Dana. This is premium coffee for premium people who love America premiumly, which we just made up that word right now. But they have great roast profiles. I've told you my favorite one, Tactus Squatch, is my jam right now. But I also have been enjoying some Silence or Smooth on a Sunday morning. But you join that Black Rifle Coffee Club because you can also get kettles and mugs and everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And choose your roast, frequency of shipment, and it shows up when you want it to on your doorstep. Free shipping. You never run out of coffee. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Start saving money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Millennials are on course to become the richest generation in history. They said generational transfer of wealth largely built up in property will amount to $90 trillion in the U.S. alone. But then wait until the IRS hears about that. It's not going to be for long. They're going to hit you with death tax and all that, so that's going to kill all of that stuff. Hey, keep voting Democrat. That's what you'll get. Yay! Wait, what? Also, I don't really want to talk about this. Kane says it's news, though. Mm-hmm. This was in Germany, of course. A dog that police said was about the size of a Jack Russell Terrier caused a horrific injury because he bit off a dude's male copulatory organ and ate it. That's not making this up. The incessant barking forced neighbors to call the police. It was around 2 a.m., and upon arriving at the property, first responders heard someone groaning in pain. They found a 66-year-old man and his dog. They rushed him to the demand of the hospital. They realized his dog was, or realized he was in danger. They literally did not. First off, I want to know how the dog could, how it was out for the dog to get. And I feel like if it was shenanigans, like gross shenanigans, you deserved it. And I don't feel bad. And the dog should be left alone. It's traumatized. It's disgusting. Like, what is wrong with people? Like, just nuke them off the earth. Just bzzz. That's what lightning should be used for. If I was a deity, that's what I would do. I'd just snuff people right off with a little lightning stroke. Like that guy right there. Let's see here. Oh, this is hysterical. So we had a headline segment about how there are more female psychopaths than men psychopaths. Well, here, case in point. Taylor Swift fans are furious over a woman Shazamming one of her songs at a concert. They're livid. They're livid. It was a middle-aged concert goer using Shazam to try to figure out what song it was. And people are infuriated online because they have no lives. And they're trying to figure out who it is and all the, oh my gosh, get lives, touch grass, like go see some sun. Good night. It's crazy. And last but not least, an NYU doctor kicked the bucket because she ate at Walt Disney World and waitstaff insisted the food was allergen free and it wasn't. Oh. But then at the same time, don't order things that are called fritters if you're worried about allergens like dairy and nut and all that, right? Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was any financial transactions that involved Hunter with his father, period. It seems to me that the Republican members wanted to spend more time talking about my client's addiction than they could ask any question that had anything to do with what they call their impeachment inquiry. So, as I said before, there is no evidence because there is no evidence, and today only confirmed that. Thank you.
Will you come back for a public hearing?
Will you do a public hearing? Mm-hmm. Mr. Biden, was the cocaine at the White House yours?
Who's that guy? That's a real MVP right there. Yeah. Was the cocaine in the White House yours? Man, was that guy from New York or Jersey or what? God love him. You could hear it. Mr. Biden, was the cocaine at the White House yours? Man. He did not GAF. That dude's a real MVP right there. I get purse picks for my kickball team, man. He's on my team. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lasher with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour. Let's have a big fight about health real quick. Okay, so on break, you know, we talk about different things and, you know, we just kind of get set up. If it's a slow news day, we talk trash and
realize things.
Yeah, we like realize stuff. And so Steve was all, and we got his permission. We're like, hey, can we talk about this on air? Because Kane I don't really look at myself as the voice of reason. I am just suspicious of everything. Kane,
no,
however, is his blood type is tinfoil.
a high percentage of tinfoil. You're
and
right.
There is a conspiracy behind everything. Oh, yeah. Well, the reason they told you that is because, like, if someone says, go out and get more sunlight, if a doctor tells somebody that, Kane's like, well, that's just big sun talking right there.
No, I would big recommend you sun. Get more sun.
Anyway.
I would be surprised if a doctor said that.
I know, but you know what I mean? So, anyway, Steve's like, oh, yeah, you know, I had like my checkup and they do blood work and all this stuff. And Steve's like a young dude. He's like in his 20s, right? He's like in his like early mid 20s. And I've told you guys before, like we've talked about cholesterol and all this stuff. And I don't anymore, shockingly, but I ended up, I can't do a keto diet. I used to do paleo and I eat really healthy, except for this bagel that I have here right now. I eat fairly healthy, very healthy. And when I did keto, I apparently lack like a specific type of enzyme in my liver to process a high fat diet like that. So it made my numbers look like I was Wilford Brimley. Long story short, freaked out my doctor. I had to do a heart calcium test, all this kind of stuff. Like I had all this stuff. And learned a lot about LDL and HDL. And LDL is the bad cholesterol. HDL is the good cholesterol. And Steve was like, yeah, you know, I got my cholesterol numbers. So I think when you're like 35 and up, you immediately like, what are your cholesterol numbers? Like it's like a competition. And so Kane's like, what are your numbers? What are your numbers? And Steve's like, oh, I forgot I'm talking to pros here. And so he had said, what did you say? It was like 270. Your cholesterol number was 270.
Talking about the LDL one?
No, he's.
Yeah. No, like over. Like, yeah. What'd you say? What
was your 180.
The cholesterol was 270, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, nobody's violating the HIPAA violation. I already told him it was cool, which I call HIPPO because it's funnier, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it also, if it helps you remember, it works.
HIPPO permission.
Yeah, you got the HIPPO permission.
Yeah.
The HIPPO said
that's
so.
A band, HIPPO permission. Write that down.
That's the office HIPPO, you know. It's in HR, right? If people don't know that the H is HIPPO, HIPPO relations. So, and our relations with it are good. So anyway, we're immediately, and Kane's like, I bet they push statins. See, the reason that people do the LDL stuff is because they want
accent?
You on statins.
Why
I don't
I have
know.
An accent and overly zealous. It's like, it sounds like you've really manufactured this whole thing.
You were so, look, no, you don't get to be all excited on break and then come back on air and
so,
be like, well, no, dude,
that is
so
inaccurate.
Not true. Super calm Kane. I'm almost a hippie.
What a travesty.
That's you.
What a travesty you're committing right now.
So They didn't prescribe you statins, though, right, Steve?
No, they're for statins. Like pre-diabetic patients. I don't have any of that.
They didn't offer him statins. Why are you? Now, who's being dramatic?
Did they give you any literature that pointed to statins to fix this cholesterol thing?
No.
Did they give you any literature on statins?
Yes, it said a statins medication is recommended for LDL 190 and higher.
There it is.
And I have a 1.8, but I have a 1.8.
In the 1970s, the number was 300 or higher. They've been steadily lowering that number since the 70s in order to sell more statins.
On purpose.
Which, by the way, your brain is majority cholesterol. So when you take statins, what happens to your brain? It actually
gets mushy.
Yeah, and you end up with Alzheimer's. There's a direct link with Alzheimer's and, you know, overuse of statins. So, yeah, quit. I don't like that.
I think it's insane for anybody to, I think it's irresponsible. This is what my cardiologist has said. It is absolutely irresponsible for a doctor to prescribe statins without doing a calcium score.
Yes.
It is, I think they should be literally have their licenses pulled.
I'm only 10 points.
They
from
should
that.
Be barred 10. from practicing medicine because it's so irresponsible. Because when you go on statins, that's for life, dude.
Yeah, and so what did they say? 180, and you're at 190, or what was?
Yeah, and you're young. Like you can do all kinds of stuff.
They said statins at 190. I'm 180, and I'm only 29, so I don't even know why that.
What exactly?
Why do I think you're like 24?
I'm always
because Juan's 24.
That's Juan's age.
Juan's 24. Juan's yeah, but Juan's like he's got like old man aura. You know what I mean?
He
like
does.
He's 24 years old, but like he seems like he's 60.
Right. Like he's seen some stuff.
Yeah. Like he's, you know, he's lived a life.
Yeah, he knows what's
over there.
Going.
Yeah, he knows what's up. But yeah, Steve is like, he's like, yeah, well, they, you know, mentioned, you know, statins over, you know, one. And you didn't do like, they didn't do the calcium test or anything, right?
No, I just had like 5 seconds of blood work and then I just got it back. It's been like 2 days ago and this is what I'm reading now.
It could be, Kane. That they just were like, well, in case you read about this somewhere, here's, you know, statins for this, and this is what it's used for.
Yeah.
Which I don't, I think that should always be a last ditch.
Yeah.
Resort.
I'm not against them actually giving them the literature and all that. What I'm against is the fact that they've lowered that number to 180.
Yeah.
Or to 190 or whatever it is now. It used to be 300. It's not healthy.
Right.
It's not healthy to reduce your cholesterol so low that your brain suffers from it. That's ridiculous.
I love the cardiologist that I went to. I actually don't need to see him anymore. But when I went through all of that stuff with like diet and that, they freaked out because they're like, why are your numbers coming back looking like you're Wilford Brimley? And then I had to do this. They literally stripped out my diet for like 3 months. I could only eat like just, I barely had energy to weightlift. And I ended up losing a significant amount of weight unintentionally. And they were, because I mean, when you're not eating carbs, you're not eating all this other stuff, and they're trying to figure out, is this a diet controlled thing? Like what's happening? Did the calcium test, all that stuff. And then it came back, it was still relatively elevated, but it was a lot better than what it was. Cause like my cholesterol had hit 280 and it was nuts. And they kept saying the only one of my doctors was like, this has to mean blockage or something somewhere, or like I couldn't get I wasn't supposed to get my heart rate up, I wasn't supposed to be stressed for a month. I'm like, do you know what I do for a living? Like I'm wound up to 11 24/7. Are you serious? So but no, it's like tons better now, but it was, I can't do like super high fat diets like that. I don't, they actually did a liver, like an enzyme, I don't forget what they call it, like it's like a liver enzyme test. I did every test on God's green earth, and they really and I was working with two different doctors because I'm nuts and I don't care, I will double check the other's work. And it was legit, like it's like a specific enzyme that I lack enough of in my liver to do a high fat diet like that. And I was doing it correctly, I just can't. So I'm like, oh, I have
yeah,
I'm the person that has to have the carbs, it's for my health.
I wish I was that person.
Yeah, if I have to have the carbs, it's for my health. But anyway, I do think, to your point, Kane, that there is an effort to get everybody on something.
Yes.
Like, I think whether it's like mental health, I think a lot of people are put on like antidepressants that don't need to be on them.
Yes.
Whether it's like the weight stuff, whether it's the statins, I mean, there's like a million things that are out there. And a lot of it is diet, because they were Kane lost it. This is what I was saying. He got so like riled up on break because he asked Steve, he's like, what do they tell you? And Steve's like, well, you know, I got to cut down red meat and beer. And he's like, what? Yeah, and then he had
my Saturdays. Like, come on.
I know.
Saturdays are for the boys, man. That's like red meat and booze. Beer day.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, and beer, you know, really helped civilize society. You know that, right? I mean, without beer, we'd all, you know, be dead. Anyway, so.
It's personal for me, though, because my number was at 210, the last blood work that I had. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, over 190. You may want to consider statins. And I laid into my doctor. I'm like, are you kidding? Because he was an older guy. And I'm like, you seriously believe this? I said, when you started, what was the number when you started? He's like, I get it.
What was it, old man? What was it?
I get it. So, no, it's just letting you know what the numbers are. It's all it is. You know, and he backed off really quickly.
Yeah, but it does that.
It is personal,
like,
for me. Because my grandma with dementia and, you know, the problems there. And at that time, you never knew what the issue was. And now you start learning what these doctors are doing actually has some negative consequences.
Yeah, no, it does. It does for sure. And it's, I mean, I think anything is bad. And like, if you're not an overabundance, so, I mean, if you have too much of anything, even something that's good for you, there's going to be some kind of bad consequence. It's just use your common sense. You know, I eat a little bit more fish than I used to, but I will never not eat red meat. If you were like, Dana, there's an asteroid coming and it's going to hit the planet and kill everyone unless you stop eating red meat, I'd be like cutting a bite of steak and being like, well, so long. It's been real. Sorry. I'm going to go out with some red meat. But because red meat's important. I mean, we're carnivores. I mean, for crying out loud. But yeah, it's, I do think that there's this major push. I think it was made easier too after the pandemic because they were pushing, oh, get the injections, get the shots, get them. And if you didn't, then, you know, you were, it's like they tried to mainstream being on stuff.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's those commercials you see. It's like all these couples or, you know, all of the fun, like playful music and everything. And then they're talking about this drug and ask your doctor about this drug. Mm-hmm. A 60-second commercial and 52 seconds of it is the side effects.
It's like a Happy Fun Ball commercial with SNL. Right. Don't taunt Happy Fun Ball.
They are putting a lot of money to pushing.
I have friends that when they go to Mexico, they go to the pharmacies down there and get all the drugs that aren't regulated here and they bring them all back. And my husband's like, it could be the cartel. And I'm like, well, which cartel, the FDA or the Mexican cartel?
Right.
Like, you know, which one? We've got Florida Man on the way. You don't want to miss. So that's medicine and science on the Dana Show.
I'm gonna plan a trip to Mexico.
Look at you, right? I mean, for real. Like, I mean, at least the cartel's being honest about being the cartel. They're like, yes, we will kill you. Yeah. And the FDA is like, no, we're going to pretend that we love your life. I mean, you know, at least one's honest. I'm just saying. But they're both cartels. Let's be real. All right. As we get moving, I'm bound to get hate mail. I will print it out and I'll run it over with the little segue that I got on Amazon for Mother's Day 5 years ago for like $200. So try me.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. First up. Man, you got to be committed to lead cops on a chase like this. Here's the headline. It's from the Orlando Sentinel. Florida man leads a chase with authorities on a John Deere lawnmower. He was arrested. He was trying to outrun the cops on a John Deere. It was Okaloosa County. Dusty Mobley, 40 years old, was taken into custody Saturday morning by Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office and faces multiple charges of grand theft of a vehicle, felony criminal mischief, 2 counts of resisting an officer, possession of a concealed weapon by a felon, carrying a concealed handcuff key. What? Possession of drug paraphernalia, felony failure to appear. He's got a lot of charges. But can I just, for 1 second, carrying a concealed handcuff key? What? That's a charge? I just would expect that of criminals. Like, oh, you didn't have a concealed handcuff key? You're going to get charged. You're a bad criminal.
You have to open carry the key.
Yeah, like open carry, like this is my handcuff key on my neck for when I get arrested. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, they showed up to his house to arrest him for fleeing from deputies back on January 3rd. They came to his home in January to question him about a $40,000 stolen boat. He literally had cut a hole into a metal building with heavy machinery and stole this boat, right? So he was on said boat when deputies arrived and he tried to dive into a gator infested swamp to escape it. But he actually successfully fled. That actually worked the one time. He tried to outrun them again this week, but on a John Deere lawnmower, but he was unsuccessful. They arrested him. They found a revolver, a handcuff key, He had a pipe with meth residue in it. He's being held without bond in Okaloosa County Jail. Gators probably didn't want him because he's all messed up. They were like, no, thank you. No, thank you. Let's see this. I got a couple of others. I got a 50-year-old dude who, or no, a dude facing a 50-year prison sentence because he was smuggling turtles. Yeah? Yeah, he's apparently been doing this since 2015. And he's the owner of Omni Reptiles, an unregistered business in Lee County. And they trade wildlife, including protected species of wildlife. And he falsified all these forms. He tried to lie about the turtles, saying they were captive bred instead of wild caught. And it was a violation of the Lacey Act. You can't traffic in wildlife that's illegally taken. So he could face 50 years in prison for smuggling turtles in. Turtles. Like if somebody asked you, what would you risk 50 years in prison for? Right. You know, you might maybe say something like, I don't know, like, you know, killing somebody who attacked a member of my family or something like that. I mean, I'm just saying. Not, oh, turtles. Mm-hmm. Is it that dude, that kid in that viral video goes, I love turtles? Is that him grown up? Right. Just curious. Also, let's see here. A Florida man was caught with 10 pounds of pot and guns. Pot and guns during a Kansas traffic stop. So it's a Florida man in Kansas. And he had 10 pounds of pot, materials for growing said pot, chemicals used to process the oil from said pot, and also two guns. He is serious about the marijuana.
Modern day moonshiners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it?
Kinda.
But the THC, though, if they like mess with that, can't that make you eat somebody's face off a la bath salt?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't think
so. Is that a thing?
I hope not.
I don't know. Like the whole pot thing confuses me because they act like it's wine. And that you can, it all smells like feet. I can't, what's the difference? It smells like a skunk's ass. Let's be honest. Like, you can't tell the difference. The first time I ever was around it heavily, I had boomers sitting in front of me at a Willie Nelson concert. And I think I got a contact high. I'm not kidding you. Like, they were my grandparents' age. Silver hair and the whole nine yards. And they did not care who saw. They were like, we are out. Grandparents gone wild. Anyway. I don't know. We got more to come. We got third hour on the way. Stick with us.
The gentlelady, it's important to note, voted against the FRA last year because, specifically noted in the gentlelady's press release, the side deals that are being put in place in this exercise that we're going to be putting forward next week in appropriations bills, those side deals were not in the law that the gentlelady just referred to.
Get it.
To be very clear. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to go around talking about following the deal that was cut last year under the FRA, that we're spending at a certain level. The fact is another $70 billion was added in side deals, and that's why the gentlelady opposed the FRA last year. But those side deals are a part of this agreement that is plussing up and funding the bureaucracy that is at war with the American people. That is the truth. That is the truth, no matter how much people want to gloss over it on either side of the aisle, but particularly this side of the aisle. Because this side of the aisle wants to be able to campaign on border security. And you know what? The border's not secure. And we're going to be passing a continuing resolution that continues to fund a DHS that refuses to secure the border. These Americans are dead. These Americans are dead because illegal immigrants, illegal aliens were released into the United States by this administration. Laken Riley, one week ago today, was alive and well, and now she's gone. Because somebody from Venezuela was released on mass parole in El Paso, went into the United States, went to New York, was released after assaulting somebody, moved to Athens, Georgia, and killed this young woman because of the policies of the radical progressive Democrats that my colleagues on this side of the aisle want to campaign against, but refuse to use the power of the purse to stop.
That was Chip Roy. He's having a day. And he makes a lot of sense there on the floor. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. Coming up, by the way, in our third hour, we have the Attorney General of Missouri who's going to be on. He filed a suit. He just announced it today. We got an exclusive with him. He's coming on about the suit that he filed against Planned Parenthood for trafficking minors out of state to get abortions as birth control without parental consent. So that's a it's a big deal. That's like you can't be trafficking people. It's illegal. We're going to talk with him about that. So, again, welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio show. You can check out the simulcast as well. Channel 347 DirecTV. I need more Republicans to be fired up like that and to be angry over that issue and to focus on that issue. And they need a strict focus on that issue. I think that's important. I was watching, I think those remarks about the, I think going down to the border is smart, especially going to Eagle Pass is smart. There's been some good moves that Republicans have made. I was getting aggravated because all I was hearing from Trump was about the lawsuits, and I get that that's a thing, but we have a country that's going to hell. So I'm glad that he's going to Eagle Pass and going to Shelby Park particularly. I think that's a wise move. And the I think that, because DeSantis, what did DeSantis do? He like pushing to release all those Epstein list names so we can find out who all the creepers are. I want to know that as well. And I thought this was interesting, too, because you heard Chip Roy. So Chip Roy's been blasting. It's a good move by House Republicans. This is an interesting headline. I'm just going to read you the headline. Quote, leadership is to blame. GOP's Hawley takes a swipe at Speaker Johnson over possible government shutdown. He's talking about how they have had, no, they've known the parameters of what they needed to agree on since, you know, I mean, this has been last year. And he said, they keep kicking the can down the road. And I told you what Congressman Good had been saying about what needed to be done, how they had to have a border provision, how you you have to have a cut, you know, those, the you can't have this, you know, the increase in cap, an increase in spending associated with us. And he said that that would be the only way he would agree to a CR. It was very interesting. I feel like if Hawley felt that he could say that publicly, that then you know that there's some pressure from the Senate side of things, the Republicans in the Senate, against those in the House. Kind of interesting, just to say. But there's a couple of dumb things, too. I saw this. The two things. I had this in my headlines. I don't know who's pushing this. There was a piece at Washington Examiner that says how Tulsi Gabbard went from Democrat Party rising star to Trump's VP shortlist. She does not have any electoral votes associated with her name. So there's not going to be, I think that's dumb. And also, a politician that's never explained how or if they fully changed their mind about being opposing the Second Amendment on a number of different aspects, like including previously being in favor on record, being in favor of a quote unquote assault weapons ban. And you're going to consider, because what now they can do, they do some interviews on Fox and they're a contributor. Seriously, that's such a, that's the low bar we have. I just, unless there's like a full mea culpa and there's a good explanation publicly that makes it clear to everybody if the mind was changed on Second Amendment and how it was changed and where she stands now. I don't believe in supporting gun control candidates, and no one who's conservative does either. And then I thought this was dumb too. This, because we said yesterday, we're the news that broke yesterday about Mitch McConnell stepping down. And so Gates is trying to take credit for it. Matt Gaetz. I don't dislike him, but I think he's just kind of, I don't know, like a bald tire. I don't know. I don't know. But he said, according to this, The Hill, quote, we've now 86 McCarthy, McDaniel, and McConnell. And I'm like, well, unless you gave him the stroke he had, which was common knowledge, and you made him 82 years old, that's dumb. And also, he was part of the contingent that literally put Ronna Romney McDaniel, installed her as RNC chair. We remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers. We're not going to forget. So I just thought, you know, like you literally put her, you supported her as RNC chair, hashtag herder. I mean, we remember. I don't know. I can't. And then MSNBC did something kind of goofy, because if there's one thing that Republicans and conservatives can shake on, it's this, you know, they kind of have a general dislike of Mitch McConnell. There's two things that he did fairly well that they will give him that credit on. And MSNBC decided to make the dumb move of treating it like a negative and then making people who aren't predisposed to defend McConnell on this, which was just the dumb move for them to do. And they got mad. They went back to the Merrick Garland thing. They got so mad about that. They are mad about Merrick Garland. It was on, on CNN, I think. And they had said that, it's so bad that he robbed Merrick Garland. It was Andrea Mitchell talking to this one chick, and she goes, none of us knew you could stop Merrick Garland, a Senate nominee at the beginning. And this lady that she has on goes, yes, to many of us in the law, Mitch McConnell's legacy will forever be tainted by what he did with the Supreme Court. Now, she's not just talking about the Merrick Garland thing. She's also, Garland, I think she's talking about the Kavanaugh stuff as well. And I just think you're literally lamenting over the one thing that Republicans and conservatives can agree on. Like, they'll rail at him for all this other stuff, but you got to give him credit because he shaped the second half of Trump's term was a judicial one. And he needed McConnell, and McConnell made it happen for him. So you can't, they're bringing up the one thing that actually could unite Republicans and conservatives on this issue. That's so tactically stupid. Why would you do that? And to go back for that little turd, Merrick Garland, that guy, he's like the meanest. He's a mean dude. I don't like dudes who are mean like chicks because it's a beta trait. You know what I'm saying? Like, dudes who get catty like chicks are never to be trusted because that's a weak man. That's a weak male in a sack of meat. That's what it is. And he's one of those dudes. You can see it the way he went after dealt with the whole Kavanaugh thing, all of it. That guy wanted to be on the Supreme Court so bad. And Mitch McConnell was like, well, you know, we are legally obligated to review and provide feedback, but you don't get our consent. And they got so mad that they could not make them bend the knee over that. And I will say that's the one time where I kind of enjoyed Mitch McConnell's turtly, like, well, blinking face, right? That was like the one time I actually enjoyed it, because that was the response they got from him every time. So MSNBC lamenting over this, it's like literally the one issue that unites the right. You guys are so dumb. Why would you do that? You're making people who are not predisposed to defend McConnell to defend McConnell on this. And like with the Kavanaugh thing, if they could just get him past that review and get him up, McConnell was going to shepherd it through. And he did. He shepherded the vote through. You got to get him to this point and then he'll take it over. Oh, they're so mad at him about that. Ah, I like it when they get mad. It's all good. Okay, a few other things. I promise this. The Psychological Association, ladies and gentlemen, they have a woke new dictionary. Mm-hmm. They are upset with some terms. Like, you're killing it, turn a blind eye, blue collar job. They say that they're microaggressions or offensive. You're not supposed to say your target population or take a shot at something or you're killing it because it's a microaggression. So this is the American Psychological Woke Dictionary. Gosh, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? This is what they say now. Okay, so the term to avoid, like you're killing it or you're nailing it. The inclusive phrase is great job or awesome. And the reason? Violent. It's a violent phrase. Take a shot at. Take your best shot. Take a stab at. You can't say it anymore. Why? Because it's violent. You're supposed to say, give it a go or try. No one tell Pat Benatar. Don't tell Pat Benatar. You're not supposed to say, and here's where it gets super dumb, stand up for. Like to advocate for something, you can't say stand up for. What? Yeah, because it's ableist. Mm-hmm.
Wait.
It's ableist to the people who can't use legs to stand up because.
But they can stand up with their voice. Why? What are we doing with this?
Yeah, it's ableist. You're not allowed to say turn a blind eye to because that's ableist. Mm-hmm. You also can't say, wow, you look great.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
They actually. Now, here's where I don't understand. I don't understand this. Boys, gents, young men. Everybody, I need just the males to weigh in on this for a minute. Okay, so this is what the American Psychological Association's Woke Dictionary says. You can't say, wow, you're looking great, because they say that perpetuates weight stigma. What they encourage you to say instead is it all right if we talk about your weight? What? You tell me what's going to get you slap faster. They're setting you up, dudes. They're setting you up.
This isn't real.
Run.
Is this real?
This is real.
This isn't real.
You're not supposed to say obese.
This.
You're supposed to say higher weight. You can have Dana's woke dictionary, unwoke dictionary. Instead of saying obese, just say fat ass.
We actually should write one now that I think about it.
You have to say higher weight.
I think it'll be worth it.
Yeah. And you can't say have a blind spot for, that's ableist. I don't understand the ableist thing. Some people can do stuff that others can't.
Right.
I'm not, like, I had a friend who could bend her thumb all the way back to her arm.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Is that ableist towards me?
Yeah.
I feel like that meme where that dude holds a butterfly. Is that ableist? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if someone can run faster than you, is that ableist? Like, I don't understand. I hate everything. These people, I just, makes me not like psychologists. Right? Yeah, we should. I think we're going to do that. Trademark.
Yeah.
That's some just, yeah. This is also dumb. But the thing that gets me, though, is the wow, you're looking great. They actually think you should say, is it all right if we talk about your weight? Who, do these people who write these things, do they get out, you know, out of doors with other people and talk and have human interactions, you know?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base was damaged when a suspected tornado touched down. Good night. I'm telling you, the weather is crazy. This is in Dayton, Ohio. They released photos showing damage from what they think is a possible tornado. I mean, I don't know what else messes up a building like that. They say that the suspected tornado damaged the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force's Restoration Hangar 4 and several other buildings. They said that the 88th Civil Engineer Corps, first responders, and base safety personnel are all assessing damage. They think it's pretty isolated, but still, goodness, that was a pretty powerful tornado. DeSantis approves the release of more Epstein records in front of two of the convicted pedophile's victims. He signed a bill to release the details of the 2006 sex trafficking conviction and the sweetheart plea deal. A small drone flew into a damaged Fukushima nuclear reactor for the first time to study melted fuel. I wouldn't want to touch that thing when it flew back, the drone. Did you know that Marie Curie used to keep vials of, like, uranium in her pockets because she liked the way it glowed? And her body's apparently still radioactive. Anyway, I wouldn't want to get near this. It was Tokyo Electric Power Company Holdings. They released the fourth batch of the plant's treated and diluted radioactive wastewater into the sea. And they've been monitoring the melted fuel. This is a weird, it's an ongoing thing for them. And price drops for the historic Nabisco Mansion near Forest Park in St. Louis. You can get it for a cool $11 trillion. We have Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey up next on a breaking story. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. At the bottom of this third hour, you can listen coast to coast. You can also catch the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV. That's the video component of the radio program. And you can catch us on Facebook, YouTube, everywhere. So in early January, I believe, for this next segment, Planned Parenthood came out. Project Veritas came out with a video on Planned Parenthood. And it was one of the facilities in Kansas City, Missouri. And they're on video, crystal clear video, discussing with one of these undercover reporters how they transport minors across state lines to obtain abortions without the parents ever knowing anything. And they even say, yeah, we can't do that here in Missouri. This is illegal. But hey, we can go across state lines and you can go to Kansas and go and obtain abortions there. We can go get you over there. Which also is illegal. Apparently, I guess that slipped their mind. So Now, this morning, it came out, and I'm pulling up this lawsuit now. The Attorney General of Missouri has filed suit against Planned Parenthood for that very crime of trafficking minors out of the state to get abortions without parental consent. And he joins us now, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's fighting the good fight on behalf of my home state and really for every American. Good to see you, General. Thank you so much for joining us. This was just announced today. What was your first thought when you saw this crystal clear undercover video and these workers at this Kansas City facility just openly talking about how they, I mean, this is child trafficking is what they're discussing.
Well, it's absolutely child trafficking, and it's also the concealment of the sexual exploitation of a minor. Don't forget that in the video, the victim who comes forward as part of this investigative journalism purports to be a 13-year-old who is pregnant. 13-year-olds in the state of Missouri can't legally consent to sexual activity. So Planned Parenthood is a mandatory reporter under the statutes of the state of Missouri. They had to report that as a sexual offense, and instead, they were willing to conceal that sexual offense and conspire to transport traffic women, young girls out of state for abortions in violation of state statute. But look, this should surprise no one. This cult of death has operated with impunity and brazenly and willfully violated state statutes for far too long. This is a consistent pattern of behavior of their refusal to comply with state statutes. They are dedicated to the destruction of human life, even at the cost of the health and safety of women and young girls.
And you bring up a really important point that this is in question. The person in question is a 13-year-old who can't legally give consent. And at no point in any of the video I saw, and there was a lot of it because they always post the full stuff up and then they have the excerpts as well. Not at any point did any of these workers in this clinic expressed concern for how that 13-year-old arrived in that state, and I'm glad that you noted that is incredibly concerning. They just focused on, okay, well, this is how you can do this. And as you said, they have to report it. They didn't ask anything about it. And there was no indication that they ever reported it.
Well, that's because they don't care about the health and safety of women or girls. The idea that they're going to somehow provide safe or ethical healthcare is ridiculous given this pattern of behavior. Again, this goes back to 2018. Both of my predecessors, Josh Hawley and then Eric Schmidt, have had this same problem trying to force and cajole Planned Parenthood just to meet the minimum standards under state statute. In 2018, Josh Hawley uncovered through investigation that the Planned Parenthood clinic in Columbia, Missouri was using a moldy abortion machine on women and refusing to record medical complications from abortions. And then in 2019, 2020, my immediate predecessor, Eric Schmidt, uncovered in testimony that the doctors operating at the clinic in St. Louis were refusing to provide the risk notifications about the danger of the procedures they were performing to women. And now we've got this. And again, this is an agent of Planned Parenthood who does not care about a victim of a sexual offense, but is more concerned about aiding and abetting the trafficking of this minor and concealing the sexual exploitation of that minor to achieve the destruction of human life. Planned Parenthood does not care about the health and safety of women, only the destruction of human life, and they continuously refuse to comply with Missouri state law. So we will hold them accountable.
Yeah, they don't get to fly above being accountable. And the idea that they wouldn't even increase standards just to help cleanliness standards, you know, all of that just to the bare minimum. That's similar to, I remember the Wendy Davis fight in Texas, because there were abortion clinics that didn't think that they should have to have any kind of medical professional that had admitting privileges working at any of their facilities or anybody who could actually was qualified to do anesthesia or anything like that. And that was on the heels of the Kermit Gosnell case, which was incredibly horrifying. And I just think it feels like we're seeing more and more, as you said, it's not really about the health of the woman. This is a business. I mean, that's the majority of their money is from abortion on demand as birth control. And I mean, if Democrats get their way in November, you never know, that could go all the way up to the moment of birth. Enough of them in the Senate signed on to it, trying to get it to the floor. So who knows?
Well, and why? I mean, here's the question. Why do we allow this to go on? Why is there an organization, an entity operating in these states that willfully refuses to comply with the state statutes? I mean, we wouldn't let this happen in any other context, and yet somehow Planned Parenthood is the sacred calf of the left. And so they're protected by the mainstream media. They're protected by left-wing legal groups. But we're going to take the fight to the enemy, and we're not going to let up. We're going to keep this fight going until we've exhausted every potential remedy. And look, just because we're going to court to ask for prospective relief, In other words, they won't, Planned Parenthood won't obey the statutes. We will get a court order forcing them to in the future. Doesn't mean we aren't also going to investigate the matter and look back in time and hold the wrongdoers who are committing these atrocities accountable.
Yeah, we're talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey on the suit that he has filed against Planned Parenthood. 13-year-old, this Project Veritas investigation, pregnant. They're talking about trafficking her over the state line to get an abortion. No concern about how the 13-year-old wound up in that state either. You mentioned an important point about Planned Parenthood and looking for relief. I wish taxpayers could get relief because we fund Planned Parenthood, millions upon millions and millions of dollars. Now, they say, General, that, well, you know, money, it's, you know, we're not allowed to use this for abortion. Money's fungible. I mean, we're not morons. When do taxpayers get relief? Is there something that attorneys generals can do in different states across the nation to maybe prevent our dollars from supporting this?
Yeah, absolutely, Dana. That's a great point. Look, when entities that purport to provide health care, and again, I do not concede the point that Planned Parenthood is providing safe or ethical health care. I think the opposite is true. But even if you were to concede that point, if you're violating state law, you're in violation of your participation agreements with Medicaid programs. And certainly we saw that in Texas in 2015 when both Texas and Arkansas defunded Planned Parenthood through administrative means because of the Project Veritas videos that exposed that Planned Parenthood was selling fetal body parts. And again, that goes to your ultimate point, which this is big business for Planned Parenthood. They make money.
And they donate that money to Democrats in our tax dollars.
That's right. That's right. And so we have got to stop funding this cult of death that abuses and willfully refuses to comply with state statute. We intend to do that here in the state of Missouri. Again, this has gone on for far too long. This is a consistent pattern of behavior. Many state statutes have been violated here. We've got to get to the bottom of it and hold these wrongdoers accountable. We can't let them traffic minors out of state and refuse to report sexual offenses against young girls. And even if there are individuals out there that support Planned Parenthood, surely they can agree that this is abhorrent behavior.
Yeah, it's absolutely abhorrent behavior. And it hides, I mean, it perpetuates this abuse because, I mean, the individual who is responsible for getting a young girl in such a state, that person gets to walk without accountability. I mean, I thought they were like all, you know, feminism and female empowerment, but you're covering for male predators. That doesn't reconcile.
Well, that's absolutely right. And one other point to make here that I think is really important is that in the video, the agent of Planned Parenthood brags about deceiving the courts, deceiving schools, using forged and fraudulent documents to purport to have parental consent when none actually exists. This is a parental rights issue. This is a criminal matter of potentially forged documents foisted upon a court. And again, the agent of Planned Parenthood brags three times. We do it every day. We do it every day, every day, every day. If that is true, we will get to the bottom of it. And again, just because we're asking for prospective relief doesn't mean we're not also going to look back in time and hold wrongdoers accountable.
Yeah. What's the timeline for the people who don't know really how something like this works? And I'm looking over the suit that's been filed, and we'll make sure that we put this up on the newsletter as well. By the way, on page 18 in the filing, the equipment that they use for this is some of the nastiest stuff I've ever seen in my life. I wouldn't use that on a dog.
Yeah, no, that's right. And look, this wasn't a machine that sat in the corner and they just forgot to clean. This was a moldy abortion machine that they had repeatedly used on women. How do these people obtain medical malpractice insurance? What insurance company in their right mind would certify that this is safe or ethical? And if insurance companies are doing it, they're in the wrong too. But certainly the state is no longer going to tolerate this kind of behavior.
That's a very good point. They're in the wrong too. And so I would imagine that your eyes, especially after this case gets moving, your eyes may kind of start to look towards who is providing that kind of coverage for them.
Well, and who's funding this cult of death? I think that's another important point. We know that they're on the public dole because they're desperate for tax dollars, and yet they're well-funded by coastal elites who are committed to this cult of death. And so we're going to run that down too. Anyone who stands with the cult of death should be held accountable. And Dana, I think you followed us long enough to know here in the state of Missouri as Attorney General, when we go after something like this, we envelop the issue and execute, execute, execute.
Your office, you are relentless with us. So that's how I know it's going to get done. I'm happy to see. I'm so happy that you're taking the step to do this. And we'd love to have you back, especially as this case progresses. This is the suit against Planned Parenthood and Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Sir, always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dana. Appreciate you.
We have more to come as we roll towards the conclusion of this third hour. I'm going to include a picture in that newsletter and that goes out of the equipment that he mentioned. It is, like I said, I'm not exaggerating when I say I wouldn't use that on an animal. And imagine it being used on a woman in stirrups. That was a legitimate reaction. Ugh, I can't.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And you got to harmonize when you do it, too. It's like a whole thing. We can't put that because we'll get totally hit with a copyright thing from some, you know, barista button pushing. Ooh, almost slipped.
It's like
nerd.
The doot-doots you did are borderline.
Yeah, the doot-doots were almost like right there. Yeah, uh-huh. We were playing Little Duran Duran, which is one of the best 80s bands ever in the history of bands. And we were having some conversations. And on break, my eldest child did not know who Oasis was. Steve wanted to know if he knew who Oasis was, and he didn't. And I feel proud or sad?
I think it's an even balance to the point where you shouldn't have any sort of real...
Steve's like, does he even know who Oasis is? Like, he's a Martian. Does he know who? Because I love it when millennials, like, and they get 30, then they start feeling like they're getting up there. Oh, this is interesting. And then they start looking at, like, Gen Z. And what are they? The Alpha Brats? What is that? Alpha Brat is a great band name of Alpha Babies. And they play thrash metal with punk-inspired thrash metal. Alpha Brats instead of Alphabets. Alpha Brat. Anyway. Yeah, he didn't know who. So anyway, Wonderwall. I had to kind of explain. Can we just show this video of the Crocs situation? First off, I didn't even know that there was a store that just specialized in, like, Crocs. The footwear. Now, some of you like the Crocs. I'm not a Croc hater. I think that it is perfectly appropriate if you're doing yard work. It's a or if you're a toddler. I think it's perfectly appropriate. But when you start hitting kindergarten, or if you're not in the garden, or if maybe if you're not an ER nurse, no, they're not for you. Put them down. Back away. Now, apparently in Myrtle Beach. There's a Croc store. I'm trying to get over the fact that there's a whole store that you go in and it's Crocs. I mean, it's plastic footwear. I cannot get over that there's a whole store. I am more mystified that there's a whole store to steal from than the stealing. Anyway, so Juan in the simulcast is showing video of people going in with bags and looting and just grabbing all the Crocs. And bless her heart, she looks like a college girl. She's trying to stop them from taking them. I'm like, girl, your life ain't worth that footwear. Stop it. Just be like, take them. But can I just make the point? Is this like a testament? This is going to sound really snotty. Is this a testament to how bad the economy is? Because, you know, didn't the criminals used to steal like good stuff? Like, I don't know. I remember the video of them hitting like a Rodeo Drive or something. They were stealing Gucci and Louis Vuitton had to board up their windows. Like, isn't that this? We're at Crocs.
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen those videos. But it also could be that everything else has been looted to the max.
Ooh, true.
And now that's left.
So that's all that's left?
That's all that's left of the Croc stores.
Crocs. I think I'd rather cut off my feet. I'm just going to put some brass caps on them like a bar stool and just poke around instead of wearing them. Because they look like a shoe for a duck.
They're useful like when you're going camping and you don't want to step in someone else's, shower stuff or whatever.
But here's the thing. I don't camp because we invented the house.
Oh, that's right.
Been
around for a while, haven't they, houses?
Yeah.
Been around for a while.
I don't like to pretend that I'm homeless.
Oh, my gosh.
But I don't, though. Anyway, so Crocs. Yeah. toddler, ER nurse, apparently camper if you're Kane.
Yeah,
that's
like
it.
Walking
or if
in the
you're
river.
In the garden. If you're not any of those things, don't do it.
You've been floating in the river before, right?
Well, hi, I'm from Missouri.
I think Crocs are really useful there.
No, they're not.
What?
Water shoes.
You don't think so?
You're going to wear a damn Croc that floats down the river and that looks like a neon-colored baby gator head. That looks so dumb. Okay,
you
go ahead.
Why I'm sad is because we can't hear the southern accent that Kamala Harris just manufactured out of the ether.
But is it a southern accent? It's always awkward.
No, it isn't. And it was stupid.
We're going to save it. We'll save it for tomorrow. Mark it for tomorrow. And we're going to let you make fun of it tomorrow.
Okay, perfect.
We're going to make a note of it. So
write something special for
you. Yeah, write something special. So maybe you'll get Crocs for Christmas, you know. Think about that. You know, Father's Day, Crocs for Kane. I don't know. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless.